Hey there, this is Dave from Dave's AO blog, and today I am going to give my thoughts on parts 1 through 7 of the Green Wing Conspiracy. I'm not going to go episode by episode because they all kind of blend into one, so I'm just going to kind of comment on things as they come to mind. So first of all, I have been pretty disappointed in how AO has sort of approached the marketing of this season, particularly in the fact that they released the album a whole month before it even started airing. And that's a great marketing ploy because everyone wants to hear album 53, but it's really annoying if you want to hear them each week on the radio or you don't want to buy the album, because it means that so many have already heard it and you hear things about it that you probably shouldn't hear. And that has really been a problem for me as I've been listening, because I try to keep up with what's going on in the fan community online, and there's so much stuff that has been revealed that I don't really want to know, but which I've found out mainly inadvertently. But sometimes you just find things out because you feel like finding things out. So that I find that really disappointing. There can really be no speculation because some people already know. So that really adds an aspect to the season that wasn't there for other story arcs, such as the Novacom story arc. I mean, each week we could discuss this and people could have different theories, and though some people can still do that now, I mean, there's readers who are reading this and saying, ha, that's completely off. So, but I'm not going to spoil anything in this review apart from stuff from the first certain parts, because I know that you guys don't want that. I mean, some of you already know because you've heard the whole thing, but some of you haven't, so. But yes, I've been listening each week on the radio, and I actually haven't really enjoyed it that much. I kind of feel really mean-spirited for saying that, because everyone seems to like it. I've hardly heard any negative comments on the Green Ring Conspiracy, either from those who've heard all 12 parts, or those who've just heard some of the earlier parts. Everyone seems to really, really like it, and think it's like classic AO and one of the best albums. But so far, I have not found that at all. Yes, it's definitely improved on album 51 and album 52. The writing is a lot better, it's a lot more even, and there is more of a classic feel to it in some ways. Not in every way. I think the characters are not very classic feeling AO, but the general style is still there. It's a more mature style than what you got in album 51 and album 52. Because I love Paul McCaster's writing, and I think that is one reason why it sort of is quite good in some ways, but in other ways I have not really gotten into it. I think it's partly because it's quite slow. Just the first few parts, nothing seemed to really happen. Well, even up to this part 7, nothing has happened of any greatness. I know someone was commenting that it was just so fast paced, these episodes, but I have not found that at all. I found them fairly boring because we haven't had much in the way of plot development, or sometimes it feels like it's repeating itself, like that Monty story. I mean, he's introduced at the end of part 1, while we have this revelation, and then he disappears, and then he comes back, and then he disappears again, and it sort of is interesting, but it just doesn't seem to really be that exciting for me. The return of Monty is pretty fun. To me it doesn't really matter. I already was spoiled about that before I heard part 1. Even though I heard part 1 before it on the radio, I think someone mentioned that somewhere online, and so there was no surprise factor to it. But I think even if I hadn't known, I wouldn't have been that surprised, because I wasn't expecting Monty to come back, but it doesn't really matter to me if he does or not, because it's not like I ever felt Monty was that great of a character anyway. I mean, as a kid, he was a fine character, but there was nothing which made him special. I mean, it's like Davy Holcomb coming back in that episode, Stars in Their Eyes. It just doesn't mean anything, really. I mean, it's like, wow, Davy, I can't believe it. It's just, okay, it's Monty. He's acting weirdly. Why is this? So, I wouldn't have cared if he hadn't come back. I think one reason why I also have had trouble getting into the episodes is also because of all the new characters. Now, I think this is one reason why this 12-parter struggles. Because with other 12-parters, like the Novacom saga and the 11-part Blackheart saga, the conclusion, we already knew the characters. We knew the good guys, we knew the bad guys, and so we didn't need introduction to them because they'd already been introduced in slower paced episodes that were not so important. Episodes which aren't considered as good by most listeners, you know, the battle or whatever. I mean, if we had to, if Dr. Blackheart wasn't introduced until album 25, then that takes away a lot from the villain of the story. And I think with the Green Room Conspiracy, we don't know any of these characters, the good or the bad guys, apart from Whit and Monty, who I suppose have to be good. So we have all these new characters to get used to and to form opinions on, which means that it's a little bit overwhelming, and it's not like you can grow to love these characters sort of thing like you could with Richard Maxwell or Arthur Dent or something like that. So there can't really be much development. We just have them mysteriously introduced in episode 1 or episode 2, and then we just keep having to think, oh, is this guy good or does this guy get bad, until that gets revealed in, I assume it's all going to get revealed in future episodes. But definitely some of them are better than others, some of the new characters. Buck, I quite like. I like Buck Oliver. He's got a cool accent. I know someone in the Arrow fan community, I think it's Christian A, keeps going on and on about how it sounds a bit fake. And maybe that's the case, but it doesn't really matter to me. I think he sounds really fun. I'm not quite sure what the character is supposed to be, though. I think the writer is writing it one way, and the actor is portraying this character in a different way. Maybe that's not the case, but I feel a little bit like that. Because is he not supposed to be like a sort of rough kid? You know, he chews on toothpicks. He has this sort of backward accent, as some might say. Yet he seems to have quite a good manner. I mean, when people are in contact with him, they fall in love with him. Well, Emily does at least. And I think other characters sort of warm to him quite quickly. And so in that regard, he sort of seems like a city slicker in some ways, rather than a country boy. So who is the real Buck? You know, he's confusing me, this character. And maybe that's what he's supposed to do, but I don't think the depiction of him is that strong in one way. But overall, I do like Buck. I actually would like him to continue after the Green Ring Conspiracy. I don't know if that will be possible or not, and probably that won't happen, but I quite like him. But not as much as Richard Maxwell, who seem to fulfill a similar position in the Blackheart saga. Pennywise, I like her. I know some people have been complaining about her voice and that she sounds just like Connie. And that's sort of the case. Her voice is a little bit similar, but Penny is quite a funny character, I find. And she is a little silly, but not too silly. I do have a problem, though, in episodes 6 and 7, when it's her and Wooten, because then all of a sudden things get really crazy and incomprehensible. And that's not very good for radio drama. But I don't really like Wooten, though, so that's sort of probably where the problem lies. But when the two come together, it is crazy. It is not very funny. I know it's supposed to be funny, but it didn't really come across that way. The same with the carnival scenes in episode 6. I didn't think they were actually that fun. Well, I suppose there was elements of fun to them, but since this was in the middle of a mystery, it didn't seem to work for me. But Pennywise, as he continues on after episode 12 of the Green Room Conspiracy, fine with me. Well, I suppose it depends on what sort of character she really is. You know, if she really is the leader of this whole Green Room Conspiracy, then I don't think that would be possible. She can break out of jail like Bennett Charles. Monica Stone should break out of jail. I still want to hear her again. I like her. But that's off topic. Detective Poolhouse, he's a little bit of a suspicious character. I think his sarcasm is good at first, but every episode it starts to get a bit too much, I think. I know Paul McCusker loves sarcasm and he uses it all the time in his writing, and I like sarcasm too, so I like it. But with Detective Poolhouse, it does seem to come across as a bit too much after a while, and I hope he will not continue after this season. But the actor does a good job playing him, and yeah, he's okay. Agent Tanner, on the other hand, I don't like her. She doesn't have any personality. The actress playing her doesn't do a wonderful job, in my opinion. I do like that she is suspicious. We don't know what to think of her. But actually hearing from her in a scene is not a good thing. So, no more Agent Tanner, please. But I'm guessing, though, she is involved in the Green Ring conspiracy in a bad way. Well, the thing is that either Agent Tanner or Detective Paul House are on different teams. So, well, this is how I see it. So one of them is going to be bad and one of them is going to be good. But who that is, we'll have to wait and see. Well, most of you know that, and that's rather disappointing because you're laughing at me. But for those of us who have been patient, we don't know. And we will wait. We will not give in. Another new character is Mr. Skint, Buck's guardian. He's a bit like Buck in some ways. Well, Buck, I suppose, isn't all bad. He has a good side to him, it would seem. But Mr. Skint is pretty much all bad. He doesn't have any goodness to him, it would seem, so far. But he seems a little bit weird. Well, I suppose he's a bad guy, so he can be weird, but I wouldn't really miss this character if he wasn't in the episodes. And there's another character that has a name, which has to do with money. This is the Green Ring Conspiracy's cheesiest aspect, is that so many characters have names which are puns. And we know Paul McCusker likes that. He mentioned in a podcast that he does that sometimes. He did that in last season's show, The Clock Tower Show. And he does it in this season too. And I do like it. I think it's quite cool and clever, and you sort of can pick up on things. But I think it's done to an extreme in this season. Dirt bags, I suppose. Come on, that's just so obvious. Pennywise, that one's okay, but I mean, it still is it's a really weird name. So unrealistic. And of course, the penny refers to a coin or a currency. And then we have Buck, Dollar, Oliver, another play in words with his name, and Mr. Skint. The word skint is a British word for someone who doesn't have much money, though that might not really be the case with Mr. Skint. But it still is a sort of joke for those of us who get it. And then the cheesiest name of them all, the Stiletto. When I first heard that was the name of the bad guy in this album, I was like, wow, this is a doomed album. When you have a big villain called the Stiletto, well, your show is not in good hands. But I guess we'll have to see how that pans out. But I still thought it was cheesy. Even in the first episode, Dirk Baggs whispers, oh, I'm working for the Stiletto. And then there's the string of music underneath. Okay, I get the picture. The Stiletto's really scary. He just chose the wrong name. I know the Stiletto is like a knife, which is rather dangerous, but it reminds me of someone on stilts. Maybe he's someone in the carnival. Oh, and we also have Dr. Trask, Benjamin Trask, who doesn't actually seem to have a name that's funny. It's not a pun. Well, probably isn't, I just didn't realize, but he's interesting. He sounds like he's in on something bad, but maybe that's just to throw us off. But he seems to like Connie. I don't think they should get married, though. Just because Connie should never get married. I'd be very disturbed if she got married. She's married to Whitsend. She has been now for about 22 years. Oh, but Connie in the season is okay. I think Connie's quite funny. She brings something to the shows, and she doesn't get into her yelling mood too often. There has been one or two episodes where I thought she's overreacted, and that's not a good thing with Connie. She's been doing that so often lately in so many episodes. But she was okay in these episodes. I heard someone say that they really liked the scene when Connie didn't know what was going on at Whitsend. I think it was in episode 5. And she got really upset about that and yelled about that. I didn't like that scene. I thought that scene was Connie overreacting. I wonder if that joke has actually sort of run its course now. Connie's, why does no one ever tell you what's going on? It's not that funny, really, for me. But I like Connie taking art class. It isn't really in her character, but I think that's sort of the beauty of the storyline, is that it's a tongue-in-cheek storyline to some degree, because I don't think she's actually a good artist, despite what Dr. Trask and Penny say. I think it's just all part of the big mystery. And we hear a lot from Jay in this season. I shouldn't say that. Some of you will be offended. Jay is not my favorite character on AO right now. He's okay. He doesn't annoy me too much. But I feel like he's a little bit overrated by some of you guys. He is sort of funny. There has been a few lines. But to me, he doesn't ring true. He's likable as a character. But he's not memorable as a character for me. So Jay and me are not the best of friends. But I still like hearing from him. Matthew is just bland. He's like Sam Johnson. But I like him. I like that he's in the episodes, but you never actually remember that he was in the episode. Well, maybe it's a bad thing about the character, but for me it also means he's just there and he's just a natural part of the show. So I like his role in the Green Room Conspiracy. That cell phone thing has been taking a long time to get anywhere. I mean, in episode 1, some of the kids found it and they took it to Wits End. And it's episode 7 now and they still have not even unlocked it. So it's like, wow, this is such a slow-moving storyline. But hey, at least at the end of episode 7 we heard that Buck is off to try and wrangle the phone out of Matthew's hands at Wits End. So there is some hope for that storyline yet. Appleberry, I didn't even get that until the other day. I thought it was just a joke about Blackberry, but no, it's Apple combined with Blackberry. Yeah, I'm a bit slow. But it doesn't sound like the sort of phone that Buck should have. So Emily has a right to be suspicious, but she doesn't have a right to fall in love with Buck. That storyline is a bit weird. It does remind me of the storyline between Richard Maxwell and Lucy, although Richard Maxwell, it was a lot older than Lucy, and Buck seems to be around the same age as Emily. And I suppose it sort of adds to the episode 7, we hear their blossoming relationship. But it's just Buck taking advantage of Emily, and Emily's heart will be broken. Will she ever be able to forgive Buck? That is the main question of the Green Room Conspiracy. Will Emily and Buck survive this tragic breakup in their relationship? I'm on the edge of my seat. Oh, and I heard the stiletto's going to be revealed soon. That's good, too. But not quite as exciting as whether Connie will pass the art class, or Buck and Emily will go on to enjoy a long and happy relationship. Yeah. Don't take any of that seriously. So what else is there to comment on? Oh, Wit. You know, Wit's in this season. He seems to be in a lot of these albums, actually. It's kind of funny. I didn't think he was the main character. Wit is Wit. The new actor, Andrei Stoica, has a hard-to-say name, but he does a pretty good job as Wit. Obviously not as good as the last two Wits, but that's just because I've grown up with those two Wits, so that's why I say that. But he's not distracting as Wit in the episodes of The Green Conspiracy so far, and I don't think he will be either. He's just a generic Wit, I feel. And I haven't been annoyed hearing from him in any of the episodes. I have been glad to hear Eugene and Katrina again. They even were talking to each other in one episode. I was quite shocked. I didn't think they even did that anymore. Katrina gets to take on an interesting role in this season. I like that. I like that she's actually getting a voice. And it's good to hear Eugene as well. He, once again, doesn't really seem to be doing very much. I mean, he has that phone and he hasn't even managed to crack the code in 60 episodes. He's not quite the genius I thought he was. But he's just good to hear from. And he's had some funny lines throughout the episodes. So it is good to hear from those favourite characters. I mean, when you have characters like that in an episode, it makes the episode better just because it has those characters in it. Characters like Eugene, Katrina, Connie, Wit. Those characters are really interesting, well-loved characters who generally add something to the shows they're in. But with characters like Matthew or Emily or Uncle Archie, if they're in an episode, doesn't necessarily mean the episode's going to be good. Okay, one thing I don't like about the season is that the messages aren't very strong. I know that's always something debatable about how to present a message in conventionality without sounding like you're being preachy. But so far, there haven't really been any messages in the shows themselves. Now, Chris has done a lot of interpretation of the shows in her wraparounds, but they have been rather strange. I mean, she comments on things which were hardly in the episode. Like, oh, did you hear these new characters? They didn't seem trustworthy. We mustn't trust everyone. Oh, really? Chris, you're amazing. I didn't even think of that. I just trusted them automatically. Better luck next time. But it seems like it's been that way with almost every episode. There's been like one quick reference to something like prayer or trustworthiness. And then Chris has just jumped on that and made a big deal out of it, like it was a major part of the show. So that's kind of weirded me out a little bit. Because I don't think this season actually has been written with particular themes in mind. It just sounds like a lot of them have been added in as an afterthought. In episodes 6 and 7 of The Green Room Conspiracy, there was definitely more of an emphasis on prayer, which was good, but it, once again, it didn't really stand out that much. So I really hope that there will be a greater emphasis on a particular lesson in upcoming episodes. I know some listeners have said, well, in the 12-part saga, how can you really put in messages when you have all this excitement? But Avengers: Odyssey is supposed to be more than just wholesome stories. It's supposed to be stories that have messages and morals, particularly for the Christian family that is listening. So, I mean, they sort of have an obligation to include messages in their episodes. They really need to shape their episodes around biblical truth rather than adding in a reference as an afterthought, which I felt has been the case so far in The Green Room Conspiracy. Now, I don't think that was so much the case in Novacom or Blackguard. Certainly in the Blackguard saga, there was a definite emphasis on spiritual matters, particularly salvation. I mean, we had The Time Has Come, which is just a salvation episode. And then when we got to the final conflict, we have a plea for Dr. Blackguard to give his soul over to Christ. So that was pretty direct. And those messages really stood out from that album. So even though every episode may not have actually had a message, there was still a very major attempt in important episodes to include spiritual truths. And in Novacom, perhaps it was a little bit more of an afterthought, but it was still pretty obvious that there was some spiritual aspect to the story. But The Green Room Conspiracy, not really. Despite what Chris would have you believe. She would have you believe that there are majorly important messages in every episode, but they really aren't there. And I think that you really need to teach by example rather than by preaching something, in a story at least. In a story, you need to present your message, your theme, within the story, and not rely on someone explaining it later. Because if you have to do that, then your theme was never very strong to begin with, really. So that is one thing that I have been disappointed in as well. Overall, I actually haven't been disappointed with Album 53 so far. I had my expectations low, and that probably was a good thing because it isn't earth-shattering or that amazing, because Monty doesn't matter to me. A lot of these new characters, I'm just whatever about. And the story itself doesn't really captivate me. I mean, there's this counterfeit ring and some people involved in it. And what in the game, just gonna bust them. No big deal there. I did hear it was supposed to be a takeover of the world sort of plot, but so far I haven't really seen that in the episodes. And maybe that's a good thing, actually. I don't really like takeover of the world plots on Avengers: Odyssey. Unless I do them really, really well. But I know that there is hope for upcoming episodes. I hear there's supposed to be something big happening in episode 8. So I haven't given up on the album yet. But so far I just give it maybe a 7 out of 10. I have not been on the edge of my seat. I have not been thinking about this. Thinking about the plot points late at night. And I haven't been bowled over with any amazing messages. So it's just so-so. And there's all my thoughts on parts 1 through 7 of the Green Green Conspiracy. You made it through the whole thing. And I shall comment on the last 5 parts sometime soon.